Here's another edition of High School Sports Uncensored. This one is a little different for me. It seems like I must have been doing this for a long time because there are a lot of relationships, built-in relationships with this podcast. I had a former player of mine. I had Coach Amatucci. Next week, we're going to have Bob Wade, a guy I consider a hero of mine as well. So we've run it. Nick Gill was on the show, good friend of mine. This one is, I guess in this business, would be one of my best friends. And joining me right now for High School Sports Uncensored, he is Ken Zales. So how you been?
I'm good. You know, we talk every week anyway, but everything's good. Just got done homecoming over at the Friends School of Baltimore, so always a fun day, and 11 to 12 different athletic events, and followed up with homecoming dance. So long day, fun weekend, but weather cooperates, so that's always positive.
Yeah, that's always a good thing, but the weather can cooperate. Now, KZ, you said on the job, you are the assistant athletic director at Friends School.
Yes.
And being an assistant athletic director, what are you in charge of?
Everything behind the scenes. But mainly, I do all the scheduling for not only the upper school, but also the middle school. I coordinate the fields. I coordinate the officials, transportation. And then, you know, whatever needs to be done when it's not. I also coach a couple of different sports, assistant on the girls varsity soccer team and the varsity head coach for the softball team. So whatever, you know, we always have to have an administrator at every event. So whatever events are going on campus from day to day, do that, take care of weather changes, things like that. So it's, you know, make the trains run on time, I guess it is.
Right. Here with Ken Zales, he is the assistant athletic director at Friends School. This is High School Sports Uncensored. I'm your host, Rob Long. Now, if some of you listening right now saying, Ken Zales, that name sounds familiar. Yes, you probably use KZ to help pick your fantasy football lineup. He probably even helped you win some money in the day in the weekly drafts. Now, how are you able to juggle those two?
You know, I've been doing them both for so long. You know, the football thing, man, been doing that since 2003. And it's sort of just second nature. It doesn't, you know, you have some downtime in the middle of a day. You do some rankings. You read up on some things. And, you know, like you, a lot of late nights researching and doing it on your off hours. But it's something that it started as a labor of love, still is a labor of love, and it doesn't take too much time. Most of the time is Sunday mornings answering everybody's questions,
yeah,
and emails and things like that. You know, you have your main job and you always have your side hustle. Do we say that?
Yes.
Still?
Yes, we do.
I'm
say
old,
that.
So, you know, you never know. But so that's just my side thing, and plenty of time in a week to do both.
Yeah. And Ken, I mean, I've known you for, what, 12 years maybe now?
Man, it's going 15, yeah. 16 years now.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. And you know, this is not what you always did. You weren't always the assistant athletic director at Friends. You were before you did something else in life.
Yeah, I worked in a corporate setting for a long time as a marketing director for a company called Gannett, which if you're familiar with them, they publish the USA Today paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a head of a marketing division for them, and then I transitioned that into running my own political marketing company for about 15 years. And you know, when my child started to attend Friends in pre-K, somebody came up to me one day and said, "Hey, do you coach anything?" I was like, "Yeah, I coach lots of things. What do you need?" And now I've been there 11 years and, you know, started out coaching a couple seasons, and now the assistant athletic director, also in the sports information director there as well. So handle all of their social media and things like that. So it's been a fun transition. I never thought in a million years I'd work in a school, because I didn't like school.
Yeah, no, neither did I. Neither did I.
But I wouldn't trade it for the world. I you know, the kids that are there, as you know, as a coach, I mean, they keep you young, they keep you going, and they keep you looking forward to every day that you go in there. And that's, for me, what it's about now. It's just, you know, teaching young people life lessons that you can learn through sports.
High School Sports Uncensored. I'm your host, Rob Long. Ken Zales from Friends School is joining us. KZ, you know exactly what I mean when I say this, and that is not an insult. But I bring in coaches and ADs on this show who talk championship, who talk Division One, who talk all those things, and rightfully so, because that's how they're built. How is it coaching in a program when that's not the communication? The communication is not about how many banners you're going to hang. The communication is not always about how many Division I athletes you're going to put up. But the communication is more largely about what you just said right there. You know, having athletes, student athletes, who are going to do well in life beyond their sport. Because I've coached against you for several years, and you had some sensational young women on your basketball team. But the communication for you as a coach on your basketball team and on your soccer team is largely, you know, building that character for life beyond being a Division I athlete.
We have Division I athletes that come in, but it's not, you're not attending Friends necessarily to be a Division I athlete. It happens all the time. It's every year, you know, 2-3, sometimes up to 5-6 kids go play D1.
Right.
We had 17 or 18 kids go play in college, D1 through D3. Last year that graduated, we'll have somewhere about 10 to 12 this year that'll graduate that'll play somewhere in college. Mm-hmm. But you learn to lose. And I don't say that our athletics are not good, because they're better than you think they are. You know, we won 5 championships last year, mm-hmm. Which is a pretty good one. I'll pat myself, I finally won a softball championship after being the coach for 10 years. But you learn what success looks like. Success doesn't always have to be wins and losses. Success can be, are we better on day 100, which is the last game of the season, whether it's in the championship game or whether it's in the last game of the regular season, than we were when we started? Did we build as a team? You learn that there are lessons through the losses that you go by. And at the end of the day, it's about the kids. Did they have a good season? Did they improve? Did they try hard? Did they get something out of it? Mm. We right now in soccer, we have 31 kids. We were right on the cusp of having a JV. Didn't think it was going to work out. So there are kids that don't play in multiple games. But then we had an opportunity. We were playing in a game where they played a lot, and they showed us so much that, you know, that they were getting it, that they were paying attention in practice, that their opportunity came, and they earned some playing time in some games that they may not have played in earlier. And it's just, for me as a coach, it's rewarding to see them do that. You don't want anybody to be outside of the team. You want everybody to be, you know, part of the team, whether it's 1 or 31 on your bench. And you know, you learn sometimes there are seasons that were going to be real good, and there are seasons that doesn't go your way. Can you learn something from it? Can you learn to be a better teammate? Can you learn to console somebody who just, you know, you didn't play a second? Can you learn to cheer that person on? Can you learn to encourage somebody that made a mistake and build them up? I think those are things that are good for life for a long, long time.
I'm Rob Long. This is High School Sports Uncensored. Joining me right now, Assistant Athletic Director of Friends School, Ken Zales. Ken, the recruiting is such a – I said it last week to someone, recruiting has become a four-letter word,
yes,
in our culture. And because I think people really understand what recruiting is on a high school level,
right,
and how often it's done. But there are other private schools. See, people automatically throw private schools all in the same barrel. Like, they can all recruit on the same level.
Right.
That they all have the same rules of engagement when it comes to recruiting. And that's not the case. How has recruiting been a challenge for you at Friends?
It's been a huge challenge. Number one, when you're recruiting athletes, You have to make sure they're student athletes. There are requirements that each private school has. There's something called an IC test that every high school and middle school student has to take. Mm-hmm. And every school has a different qualification. Some people, at Friends, it's very high. You can have a student athlete that has a 4.0 average at the middle school that he or she goes to, and they come and take the IC test, and it's not good enough. They feel that they're going to struggle mm-hmm. at the school. So, you know, we all recruit. We all understand that. You know, I don't recruit like Gilman recruits. They're across the street from us. Neighbors, we don't recruit like they recruit. We can't get in the same living rooms, as they say, that they could get in. But when you recruit kids, you recruit the school, and you don't just recruit the athletic field. You have to recruit the whole package, that they have other interests and what Friends can offer them. That, you know, you talk to the parents about the schools, the colleges that the students get into, and that always helps with the parents.
Why has recruiting become such a buzzword, a bad word, so to speak?
It's how you do it and the perception of it. And I think there was some bad press early on. There was some misunderstanding on all sides as far as what certain schools were trying to do through their recruiting and whether they were following the rules and regulations of the MIAA and the IAM in the, I guess, aspect that they were meant to be followed in.
This is High School Sports Uncensored. I'm Rob Long. My guest this weekend is Friends Assistant Athletic Director Ken Zales. Now, I'm going to go back to some words you just used. You said they took recruiting to another level.
They did.
And then you said that this area isn't necessarily used to. Not at one moment did I hear you condemning them for what they did. I don't hear you signing off on it. But it's not the same condemnation that you hear from others.
It's not. I'm not, you know, and maybe because I, you know, on the side, I also do a football show every Sunday.
Right.
I've talked to their coaches and they were very forthcoming, I thought, in what they were trying to do. Now, I may not necessarily agree with everything they've done and the way they've done it. But to me, it's all if you're truly supporting kids and putting them in a better situation, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for that. I, you know, 11 years now working in a school, and as I said earlier, to me, it's all about the kids. It has to be about the kids. If the kids are getting a good education and they are growing as people, and that is where it all comes from, whether you spend a dollar or whether you spend $10 million, I don't really care. You know, I understand both sides of it. I understand that some of the other schools, when you're starting to go in a different direction, as far as recruiting seniors to come in, I get that. I play a lot of freshmen. If I'm going up against a senior laden team, is an all-star team. I'm not happy about it. And if those kids were recruited just to come in and play soccer, then go D1, I'm going to be less happy about it. Because as you know, the size, strength, speed of a senior is much different in most times of a freshman, as well as the understanding of the game itself, no matter what game it is, whether it's football, basketball, you know, it could be squash. A senior who has those 3 years of experience.
I never realized that until last year, because I had two very good seniors on my basketball team, and I saw the difference between them and the freshmen.
No matter how talented they are.
Right. And I think pound for pound, those freshmen were probably a little more talented than the seniors. But the experience, I've been here before.
Right.
And just be honest with you, I'm just right now more developed than you.
Exactly.
This is my first real, true senior class, because this is my fourth year here. And just seeing the maturation is like, wow. It's much different on a high school level, freshman to senior, than it is where I came from on a college level, freshman to senior.
They're
already adults.
Right. I mean, we 18-year-old.
And 22-year-old.
I mean, what as we all know, as you get older in life, the number of years between age doesn't really matter
absolutely.
As much. But when you're talking about 14 versus, in some cases, in private schools, 18 or 19,
yeah,
that's a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, these are kids versus adults. So I got that side of it. I got that side of where other schools were upset mm-hmm. when you're going after seniors that are coming in to play any sport. It's a big difference. And look, I don't condemn any school for trying to better themselves, trying to help kids, trying to push their athletic department forward. I try to push the Friends athletic department forward every single day. But at the same time, I can understand where there was some disagreements and ruffled feathers.
That's Ken Zales. He's the assistant athletic director for Friends School. This is High School Sports Uncensored. I'm your host, Rob Long. Let's talk about the different philosophies of private schools, so to speak. Well, really, different philosophies of all schools, because public schools, I think, get caught in that. I don't think the athletic philosophy of Poly is that of the athletic philosophy of Carver.
Correct.
You know, I don't think they had the
right,
same. So
right.
I don't want to paint it just as public private schools, but you and I, for instance, we have two separate goals. We're in this for two different reasons. No, the same reason, for the betterment of the kid.
Right.
But we have two different goals and paths we follow. And it seems that either, and I guess this is the climate of our society, you're either right or wrong, there is no difference. There is no, I see it this way, you see it
right.
this way. It's, if you don't see it the way I see it, you're wrong.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the climate that we've painted in high school because we, you know, I want to be that A-conference juggernaut
right.
one day. And correct me if I'm wrong, you'd like to, but it does not, that's not success or failure for you.
Correct. Correct. It's a.
Is there room for both philosophies in high school athletics?
There is room for both philosophies in high school athletics, but I think reality of how conferences are divided and kind of has to come to the forefront. We've played, you know, Mount Carmel in girls basketball, you know, each of the last 2 years. I've been, especially this past season, I was never more proud of a team than I was when we came into your gym
mm-hmm.
and woke your girls up
because mm-hmm.
they came in saying, "Nah, it's Friends School, Baltimore."
Yeah, they did.
And for a quarter,
in spite of me telling them over and over,
despite you telling Casey's not coming in here to lay down, he's coming to try to beat me. That means he's trying to beat you all.
I said to them, and I quote, "Friends don't want to beat one another. Friends want to destroy one another."
Yes.
And I don't mean friends is in your school.
No,
I mean when
friends
are coaching
friends,
one
yeah,
another.
Right. Absolutely.
When friends coach against one another, they're out for blood.
Absolutely.
So go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's true. And you know, for a quarter and a half, I mean, we played as well as we had played. We were playing hard. We were hustling even more, if I dare say, than your team.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, talent won out, and your girls realized, yeah, they're just not going away.
Right.
So we got to play, and you have the better basketball program. You have. You know, we're in the C conference. You're in the B conference, and you want to go to the A. We want to get to the B. There's a drastic difference between the talent that we have. But for me, it was a 30-point game at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I told my girls, I was like, "You play like that in the playoffs, we're going to win playoff games." Guess what happened?
Yeah,
we won playoff games.
Yeah,
because we were playing well. We were playing the competition that we were supposed to be playing. I think sometimes that everybody, you know, loses, you know, where people are trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always about where you are now. It's where you're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I think there are some discrepancies among the conferences, both in the MIAA and the IAAM. They're doing a better job of trying to rectify that. I don't think they're there yet. I don't think they're there. You're smiling at me.
Yeah, you know what? Because I love this. Because you have two coaches who aren't afraid to make controversial statements. Neither one of us, we both said some outlandish things, some things that probably ruffled some feathers. So since we're on the topic right now, let's talk IAAM, because I don't really know how it is in the MIAA, but in basketball, especially IAAM, why are folks afraid to go into the A-Conference? Why is the A-Conference the thinnest conference in a city like Baltimore, where you should be kicking over one another to get to that conference? And I'm saying right now, don't let me win 2-3 years in a row. I don't mean win championships. I mean, like, I'm in that Final Four 2-3 years in a row. Bye-bye, I'm gone.
Right.
But it seems like so many people are afraid to make that leap. And I think, and I'll go back to this. We moved to the B before we were ready. You know why? Because I couldn't be a B conference team and recruit B conference athletes while in the C.
Correct.
So when I feel like, okay, I think we've done what we could do here, in order for me to get those A conference athletes, guess what I'm going to do?
Right.
I'm moving to the A. And it seems to me that so many teams are afraid of that. IND wanted to go. St. John's didn't. Dude, you lost 4 games in 5 years in the conference. Why not?
Well, and that's the problem, and that happens among many sports. And I honestly think they're trying. There's been lots of discussions, and they're trying to rectify that a little bit. They've moved to a 1-year rule where it used to where you used to only, you know, if you moved up or moved down, it was 2 years and you couldn't move up or down anymore. They've moved to a 1-year rule where there's, you know, you can go up and down. You have to request to come down. It doesn't mean you're automatically coming down. If you want to go up, I'm always a believer, if you want to go up, go up. That's not for anybody to decide. If you're not ready to go to the A conference, but you want to go to the A conference, go to the A conference. I'm not mad at you. That's because you're exactly right. That's where, you know, you can recruit and say, we're in the A conference. We may finish near the bottom this year, but in 2 years, we're going to be challenging for championships, because those are the girls you're going to be able to get and attract now that you have that A next to your conference. We're in the C conference. We want to get to the B. We're starting to recruit girls, and we may do the same thing, a similar thing, where we go a year or two before we're really ready.
We went two before. I think we really went 2 years before we were ready.
But because of that, say, like, oh, they've gone from C to B. Let's take another look at them instead of, you know, well, you've been in the C conference for 10 years, things like that. So I get that. I don't know why. And I'll say that, I mean, look, my athletic director, my boss may not want me to say it, but sometimes it's easier just to win championships and hang trophies and banners in a lower conference and not challenge yourselves. I mean, sometimes, and this is where the leadership of the IAM, especially, and the MIAA is getting there too, needs to take a better stand and just say to people, you're going up.
And I can't speak for all of the sports, but I think the stance they took last year the last 2 years of forcing some people out.
Yep.
I think the IAAM has, they've taken that stand. I think they've done a great job at that.
They're doing a terrific job. It's consistent. It doesn't make, look, at the end of the day, you got 30 schools. You're not going to make everyone happy all at the same time. Look, I'm playing teams in soccer right now that I think should have been bumped. Now I'm playing B. I thought they should have been bumped up to A. They didn't get bumped up to A. Okay, we're going to play them anyway, and we're going to play them hard. It's just the way it is. But now I think with the 1 year, I think it's made people, you know, if we're told, you know, you're getting bumped up in something, well, we're not ready. Well, it's 1 year. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. The 2 years was sometimes tough to take because two sometimes turned into four, depending on where you were in that cycle. It's like, oh, well, we won the championship 2 years in a row, but we graduated everybody. Oh, well, you're going to stay down. Well, they reloaded, and all of a sudden two championships turned into four championships. It's like you need it to go when you go. And I think there needs to be somewhere in the leadership where if you're told to go, you go. There shouldn't be this, you know, you get a right to answer back and why you shouldn't go if you don't want to go. You go for 1 year. If it's wrong, you come back.
There you go. Gonzalez joining us. This is High School Sports Uncensored. I'm Rob Long. Ken, I remember my son playing against your football team at Friends, and I heard this year friends had no football team. How tough of a pill was that for you personally to swallow, not having football as you tap on the desk here?
Look, you know I'm a football guy.
Yeah.
I write about football. I talk about football. You know, I through the NFL draft, you know, it's become a 365 type season for football. It's hard. But it was the right thing to do. We're not a big school. In the entire upper school, we may have 180 male students.
Yeah.
That has to support two soccer teams, a cross country team, now a volleyball team, and a football team. Eventually, something, it's hard to support all those sports. And football, with the negative press that it's gotten over the years, with the concussions and things like that, it's tougher to find kids that grow up wanting to play football. We haven't had a middle. This started, you know, 3 years ago when our middle school program went away, and with no feeder program, we were playing high school football with 18 to 22 kids total. Playing both ways constantly. Quite frankly, we were lucky not to get injuries and being able to finish the last couple of seasons. And we've had great kids. We have a kid that is playing University of Missouri. We got a kid playing at the University of Butler. It's not that we didn't have good kids. It's that we just didn't have the numbers. And this year, when it came down to it, we finished last year with 19. We graduated 5. And there were only 10 kids that really wanted to commit to football. So you have no other choice. I mean, we went through every stone we could find trying to get kids to come and play football. But if it's not your main sport, it's not something that you do anymore. It's very rare, especially at a small school like ours, that these football players, if it's your main sport. And we only had a handful of those, and unfortunately, we had to cut it this year. There's still hope that we can rebuild it and it'll come back, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be a long road to get that done.
We got 2 minutes here. I have a program that I aspire to be like, and I have my reasons for that. Is there a program in either the MIAA or the IAAM overall that you aspire to be like?
No. I'm so happy where I am. I'm so happy in my own skin at Friends. I know who we are. I know what we are.
Right.
The biggest kick for me, and I say this all the time, is like when we have homecoming and kids come back. If you have kids that are coming back to your program and they didn't win a lick for 4 years when they were there, that's all that matters to me. They enjoyed their time at the school. They got something out of it. We'll win championships. Look, we won a softball championship this past year. It's first one since 2005. I'm good for another 10 years.
That's awesome.
It's a good thing. We won.
One in the nick of time. Now I got to keep you around to see.
Now I got to see if we can do it again. But, you know, last year we won the boys' soccer championship. There are things that happen right every year. We're, you know, big game against in field hockey against another one of my good friends, Nick Gill, today. That's going to decide who's going to be the leader going into the playoffs for field hockey. I mean, those are the things. We win enough. I don't need to be another school. I don't compare myself to other school. I compare myself by height, and I lose that battle.
Ken Zales, assistant AD at Friends School. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Next week, we'll be joined by legendary high school basketball coach, Dunbar poet, Bob Wade, will join us on High School Sports Uncensored. I'm Rob Long. Have yourself a great week.